Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gents, all things covered. Fans, listeners, and viewers, once again, man, you know how we do it. We back. Another jam-packed show for you guys. Me, B-Mac, myself, along with my guy, Pat P. But for you guys that are checking us out on YouTube, you see we have another individual joining us. This is all DBs right now. Pat P. and this individual, oh, by the way, his name is Terrell Buckley. They have something in common. They both won the Jim Thorpe Award. Going to the most dominating defensive back in college football, Terrell Buckley, T-Buck, as we all know him. Jim Thorpe Award winner at Florida State. 14-year NFL pro. Man, this man had 50 books, 50 interceptions. People don't talk about T-Buck's professional career enough. You don't just get 50 interceptions.
No.
You don't just get 50 interceptions. It don't just happen just like that. 50? But 50. You know what? We're going to tap into that. Not only did he get 50 interceptions, man, it was a top five pick. Just like Pat P. Pat P, you went five too, right?
Yes, sir.
Man, former college assistant. I mean, he's helped mentor a lot of some of the great DBs you guys watch now on Sundays in the NFL. But most recently, he was named a new head coach in the new league, the XFL, for the Orlando franchise. We will tap into that. But T-Buck, man, thank you for joining us. How you doing? How you feeling?
Hey, man, thanks for that introduction, man. I'm feeling great being on here with you guys. This is, to me, what it's all about. All things covered, baby. Like you said, defensive backs doing their job, and it's getting tougher, especially in the NFL, every year.
Every year. They want to see points. They pay to see points, so they pay to make defensive backs' job hard. That's what it is.
Hard. Well, you're going after a different audience, too. So, they, like you said, they want to see that scoreboard light up. And with my new thing, my new gig now, I'm on that side, too. I want to see that scoreboard light up, too.
No question. Let's take it back in time, man, when you first got to Florida State. Let's go back to 1991, right? We did our research, and we followed some of the quotes that you gave some of the local media there in Tallahassee. So back in 1991, you said Deion Sanders was your hero. But tell us, what was it like following his footsteps at Florida State?
Well, you want to be the best? You see somebody that is the best, it's a challenge. Yeah. And it was very, very exciting. You got to go back to 89, the Sugar Bowl, you know, the interception they keep showing with Deion.
Against Auburn.
Against Auburn.
Yep.
I'm from Pascagoula, Mississippi. I drive over to the game, and I'm sitting up there, and I see this pick, and I get to go hang out in the locker room afterwards, and that's the first time I met Deion, and it was exciting because you see all this on TV. That's when it was on a few games on ESPN. I just watched Florida State play, and it was like, wow, man, what is going on? And Deion electrified and all that stuff. So it was a great time for me to see somebody that played the same position I played, and I felt like was just exciting like I was. And now to get a chance to meet him and do all that, you know how it is. You see somebody on TV all the time, and then all of a sudden you get to see him in person, and you're just like, wow, this is pretty special.
Yeah, and obviously you end up deciding to go over to Florida State. to carry on your college career. What are some of your favorite Bobby Bowden stories from recruiting, practice, or game?
Well, mine, a lot of it was other folks. I was really a quiet guy. And so whatever the rules, they had rules, right? And Coach Bowden was like, if you're going to do this in practice, if you're going to dress this way, if you're going to be this exciting, if you're going to do it in a game, you better do it in practice, which is one of the favorite quotes. And then another thing, and I use this now, when he got mad at you, he would say, doggum it, dadgum it. He would mix those things up. So I use those phrases. And then just the nickname that he gave the other guys. But I think the memories for me with Coach Bowden, just besides the phrases and everything, was his honesty, and his door was always open. And if we went into his room and complained, his office, and complained about Coach Andrews, Coach Amada, or anybody, he would get on to him, and we really liked that.
Talking about Coach Bobby Bowden, the late great,
yes,
the thing that me and you have in common, the same coach that coached you, coached me.
Yes.
Vicki Andrews. Now, what people might not know about Terrell Buckley, I gotta drop some knowledge and drop some stats. Pat P, in 3 years, this man had 21 picks. In 3 years, bro, 21 picks. So you got to feel like at what point did they stop throwing his way? Because clearly by the your third year, your junior year, you was already a made man. But with that being said, tell us about the back and forths with Coach Vicki Andrews. What do you have any fond memories about Vicki Andrews? Because Coach Andrews used to let it go. You know, you couldn't give up a slant route. You couldn't give up an out route. You got beat deep. You're coming out the game. But do you have any stories you can share with us with Coach Andrews?
Well, I can tell you one. I tell you the first week, back when we came in, we had a 3-day mini camp before the vets came in. And so I am out there. I mean, I'm getting picks left and right. I'm jumping because at that time I knew ball. I knew splits, even at 17, 18. Mm-hmm. I had a great coach in high school. So the quarterback, I mean, throw this out. I know I'm just jumping. And Coach Andrews has these sunflower seeds. He's just spitting all over the place. Pip, pip, pip. Using some other, I can't say everything he's saying. You wait till them vets get here, and they're going to tell you if they're going to straighten you out. Because I was talking trash. Uh-huh. I had my towel on. My nickname in high school was the General. So I'm out there like the General. And we had a receiver, Kevin Knox, called himself the future. And so we was go back and forth. And Coach Andrew just going off. And finally, I told Carson, Coach, you know what them vets going to get when they get here? The same thing. Boy, he went. So that's just one of them. And it was, you know, I probably quit 5 times before my junior year, but I never left the field.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, Coach Andrews and I had lunch about 3 weeks ago. We was talking about that. And he was telling me he knew guys was going to quit, try to leave the field. And he had the trainer or somebody else that would stop us. It's probably 50 of us that probably quit, but never made it out off the field, because he knew how tough he was. And that was the way that he felt like he can get the best out of us. Mm. But at the end of the day, when he stepped outside of that field, he put his arms around us. He
different felt man.
Like, yeah. Different man. I told him he was possessed. No
question. The same man we saw off the football field, man, you would have thought this was a whole new person, Pat P. Because on that football field, oh my goodness. But if you can make it through his coaching, you can make it through life.
You can make it through life. And the other thing we had outlet, I don't know if you use this, B-Mac, but I figured out early on, when he really got under my skin, I told his wife. I went to Miss Diane.
Miss Diane.
He would apologize, man. She rested, great, great lady, man. And that was one of my mechanisms too.
Yeah.
Besides just doing what he said. He really was simple. No M.E.s.
No M.E.s.
No loafs.
Yep. No loafs.
Go to class. and give 100%.
100%. That's it. That's it.
No and sense. I tried to follow that, and everybody like, oh, he your favorite. I said, I do. I hustle. Besides that, I make plays.
Pat P, T-Buck had 4 interceptions returned for touchdowns and 3 punt returns for touchdowns as well in college. Man, just talk about Pat P. Yeah, 21 picks, 4 touchdowns.
That hurt me the most that was called back. I still remember this. Memphis, my freshman year, they throw fade on me. Jam the guy, turn, find the ball, jump up. You know, they talking about the moss and all the jump over. I got him pinned. And I didn't step out the back of the end zone. Step, turn, 85 yards of the way. They took that away from me.
Damn.
That's how I stepped out. I got the pick, but I didn't get the return yard.
The return yard.
To my record. That's what I wanted.
Hey, but man, ain't nobody breaking that record, man. 21 picks in 3 years and 4 that's picks, tough. Pick sixes.
Yeah, that's tough.
If you came out now, T-Buck, you'd probably be top 3 pick in a draft.
Oh, yeah.
What you ran in 40? What was the 40? Your 40 time?
It was something like grass, 4.3, 4.2 on turf, something like that. I don't know. something bad.
Something like that.
I gave it to him on the turf. And so here go the coach. I was like, oh, you ain't that fat. Let's go to the grass and do that. Okay. Took it off, jogged over there on the grass and gave it to him on the grass. Whatever you want, however you want it. Don't matter to me.
Hey, T-Buck, I got a question, man. So you talked about being a general in practice at Florida State. Where did the T-Buck trash talk philosophy come from? Did it come from watching Deion, or did it come from, you know, your childhood? Like, where did that trash talking philosophy come from?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think Deion is similar. I think I'm similar to Deion, where actually on the field, I really didn't talk. But my movement and the gestures and all that, seeing the way, my whole thing was, I'm going to make plays. I'm going to play hard. And you're going to respect me, right? Mm-hmm. You ain't got to give it to me. I'm going to take it if I have to. And if you came and talked to me, I was prepared to talk back. But I really didn't do a whole lot of talk. It was all just my body movement. My thing, I'm going to make plays. I'm not out here just to cover. I'm out here to give it to you, however way you want it.
Right. And speaking, not only just covering, you finished 7th in the 91 Heisman voting.
Yes.
Yes. Do you think we'll see another defensive player win that, although you didn't win it that year? But do you think we'll see another defender win the Heisman?
It's going to be very, very hard because it's so offensive driven. Mm-hmm. You take this gentleman from Alabama right now is in high college, the DN.
Well,
I mean, he got to have like 22 sacks, and it almost has to start your freshman year if you're a defensive player. Like Charles Woodson, it started early and the hype kept building, and then he had them great games when it was on TV.
Right.
There is a possibility that I think a defensive player like Travis Hunter that's at Jackson State, that can return punts, that can do what play receiver. Mm-hmm. And do I think if I would have played receiver a little bit too, that would have helped my chances in the Heisman.
Yeah, so, no question. I think you got to be able to do both things, like Charles
Wilson. Yes.
You got to be able to impact the game in many different ways and playing offense.
Still mad at them for not letting me get over there on the offense and do some things, man. You know?
Oh, you want to play offense at Florida State?
I played high school. I was ready. I used to go to tailback, and then they would split me out in the slot, and I'd run a seam or corner route and just do what I do.
Always open, huh?
Always, always.
Hey,
five people on me, I'm still open.
Hey, T-Buck, in our past episodes, we've had another Noel great on, Leroy Butler. You know, you play with in the Green Bay Packers. We talked to him a lot about his Florida State career and, of course, with the Packers. And, of course, you know, he just got inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But, of course, you know, we talked the Lambeau Leap, right? Mm-hmm. And I know you're familiar with the Lambeau Leap.
Yes.
Question for you. Two-part question, right? Who really created the Lambeau Leap, and what type of credit do you take?
Well, if you go back to 1991.
Yep. Your rookie year, right?
Michigan.
Oh, that's Michigan. Michigan. Yeah.
This is when
the out route, the out route. I'm gonna let you talk. I don't want to, Pat. I know what he's talking about. I watched this play 1,000 times, but go ahead and T-Boy. You talk.
So one of the things that you were taught at Florida State when you first get there is how to read a three-step. So, and it's very easy when you're on the quarterback. Their quarterback is on the center. Irv's go back, three-step read, try to hit it out there, hits the Desmond. Read the quarterback, go to the receiver, drive it, find the ball, bam. Down the sideline, shoulder lineman, whoever chasing me the ball, like, you really chasing me? Go jump in the stands. And I had the Green Bay Packers gloves on. Yeah, if people don't even realize that. Wait a minute.
When you made that pick, Florida State, Michigan, you had Green Bay Packers gloves on?
Wore Green Bay Packers gloves the whole year. Leroy, I had Leroy gloves. Leroy, I played behind Leroy my freshman year now.
Yeah.
And so we
I didn't know that.
Yes, we developed a very good relationship. So it was Leroy and Dawson. So I jump in the stands, I do all that. I like the excitement. So I come in my rookie year, first game, I hold out. I get there. I'm there 7 days in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Get a punt. Run it back in Cincinnati. Obviously, I'm going to thank the Lord. I was on a cruise for 2 weeks before that. So I score. I'm thanking the Lord. And I'm getting ready to go jump in the stands.
Uh-huh.
But as I was approaching, you know, I prayed. And I'm getting ready to go. All my teammates swarmed me.
Uh-huh.
Knocked me into... I couldn't jump, knock me into the front of it. So I didn't get a chance to do it. Leroy, late on in the season, playing the Oakland Raiders. Late Reggie White, scoops up a sack, scoop the ball up. He's running the score. They tackle him. Leroy coming behind him. He tosses it to Leroy. He runs down the sideline. Bam, jumps in his thing. It's over. Now it's League 36.
Yeah.
I told him he can have it, man. That I'm very, very proud. I'm obviously one of the biggest supporters on him. I think he should have been in the Hall of Fame years ago.
Yeah.
I'm in his corner. He take that thing and run with it, man. So we know it won't go anywhere. So that him jumping in there, I feel like just like I was because of our relationship.
Right. That's dope. I didn't know you had on Green Bay Packers gloves though in that Michigan.
Yes.
Pat P, you gotta watch that out route. It's on YouTube.
Hey, so T Buck, did you play under Ed Donatelle?
No.
Okay, you just missed him then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was with Mike Holmgren, the new staff.
Oh.
Mike Holmgren, Ray Rhodes, John Gruden, Kansas City head coach Reed. We have some guys. All those guys you see now that's doing that was all staff.
Okay.
Dick Geron was a DB coach.
Mm. Okay.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You had an opportunity to play against some great quarterbacks.
No question.
Yes. And receivers.
Yeah, and receivers. You played with, you had an opportunity to play with Brett Favre, Marino. But what were your thoughts when Drew Bledsoe went down and Tom Brady ended the game in 2001 when you were on the Pats?
You know, it was one of those, one, if you have to go back to training camp, and one of the things on Drew was he held the ball, right? And one of the things that Tom did was he had got rid of it. He made quick decisions. And so, obviously, health reason at Drew, you're concerned about his health reasons. Like, man, I hope he's healthy, he's going. But Tom runs in, and we knew that he was going to get rid of the ball quick and let, because we had some good skill guys. They, as collectively, they was pretty good. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the one guy that Jerry Rice and all, you know, we didn't have that. So, and we knew we had a pretty good, darn good defense. So for us, it wasn't as high as concern as people outside of Foxborough. Mm. And then the other thing that really made us comfortable, Tom used to sit back on the bus with us. It was like me, Ty Law, Lawyer, Brian Cox, defensive guys, and Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Now, this is year 2-3, and Tom was sitting back there asking questions. Like, he'd be like, Pat, when you see this, why did you jump there? When the receiver, yeah, it's just the knowledge and him trying to find out how we was thinking. And it's just one piece of advice I gave to him using Troy Aikman model, which, you know, you talk about Hall of Fame stuff, there's always some mix in there. What Troy Aikman used to do would dump it off to Emmitt, dump it to Joe Novacek, throw glance routes to Mike Irvin, right? Mm-hmm. Just check, check, check. Be 21 for 25 for 250 yards. And then they'll throw a couple games in there. Well, all of a sudden, we blow a coverage that don't get the crossing route properly. He throw it over the top.
Yeah.
Now he 25 for 29 for 310 yards. His completion percentage has to be one of the highest in NFL history. Mm. And I was telling Tom that story. If you really, really do it right, throw the check down, throw the curl, throw the dig, wait, two deep balls, 50 yards, all of a sudden you go from 220 yards to 300, over 300 yard passing, and your percentage, your completion percentage is still 75, you know, somewhere in the 70s, 70, 80%. Mm. And now you skyrocket. And he took some of the stuff from everybody, man, and implemented and created his own. It was TB12 now, you know?
No question. And he's still doing it at a high level.
It's not even Tom anymore. Like, Leroy used to be Leroy.
Yeah. Hey, so out of all the quarterbacks you played with, who would you Dan consider? Marino. No question.
Dan Marino.
With Dan in a time when Dan was still giving them hell out there. Tell us what made Dan Marino so special. I've had this conversation, this debate back and forth with a lot of people who might be prisoners of the moment, but I feel like you're talking about pure arm talent, there's nobody greater than Dan Marino.
Quick release, just tough, smart, understands defenses, but it's the release. That thing, a ball right here, and it's like, bam.
Yeah.
And then to me, the most important thing, and Tom has this too, his competitive fire, his competitive attitude is second to none.
Really?
And if you put Dan in a system like now where he could throw the ball 35, 40, 50 times a game, oh, you talking about records. You talking about all that stuff. It would be unreal. Mm. It would be unreal what I saw in practice going against him in games. And you talking about the trash talking. He used to tell us, man, you like a credit card. I'm going to take you out when I need it. And swipe and put it back in my pocket.
Wow.
Hey, and you like, oh my gosh, he out there just flinging that thing too. Yeah. Oh my gosh, man.
So Dan Marino is your GOAT. He's your greatest all-time quarterback.
I got a bunch of guys. My GOAT football player is Jerry Rice. of anybody. The best athlete is Deion.
Yep.
And quarterback is Dan, the man. I love Dan so much. My nickname, self-given, when I'm throwing to the DBs, we doing 7-on-7 or whatever, is Dan, the man. Baby Dan. That's my nickname. I gave myself that name.
Okay. You can. So after your playing career ended, of course, you got into the coaching world. You spent some time coaching at FSU around the late, great Bobby Bowden, of course, Jimbo Fisher. Still paying attention to Florida State now. I'm pretty sure you are dialed in.
Yes.
Where do you think the program is heading now under Mike Norvell?
It's heading in the right direction. I spent this opportunity I'm doing now in the XFL is giving me more time to visit and to study and learn. I went up there this spring, spent a day and a half up. Mm-hmm. And just from the fundamental aspect, from the emotional side and the talent, they're heading in the right direction. The arrow is pointing up.
Gotcha. You had an opportunity to coach my man Cam Dantzler.
Yes, Needle.
Yeah, the Needle at Mississippi State. What do you make of Cam development as a pro so far going into year three?
Cam is heading in the right. I think Cam should be one of the top corners in the NFL based on all these measurables everybody talked about, but based on his attitude. You know, he has the size, he's long, he's tough, he competes. Yeah. He does all those things that say he should be not just a starter, but in the upper echelon of that. I think what happens in pro coaching, some guys need more hard, more fundamental coaching. Mm. And when I had Cam there, I didn't let him get away with anything. And he'll tell you that. All the guys that, when you talk about Mick Andrews, I am Mickey Andrews 3.0 minus all the other words.
All the cuss words.
Yeah, minus all the curse words, but I am hard, I'm fair, I'm balanced, and I challenge. And I think some guys need that. Cam is heading, you know, like I got told you, watching the game last night, watching you guys. He did a lot of good things. Tackle. I like to see you guys. I'm talking to you guys, like I'm coaching you. Take another step and use your shoulder. Stop diving all the darn time, right? That's one of the things that, for him, I like to see him start running through him a little bit more. But it's the playmaking ability, like that corner route.
That was a great
The tight end ran.
Mm, yeah.
When you judging corners, usually guys can't find the ball. They falling down. They doing something. He actually had it. The guy wouldn't have put his hand back up in there. He would have picked that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You cannot find that type of ability. Yeah, you got it. You got the harness that, and I'm happy he's there with you. And I told him that when he was drafted 3 years ago, the best thing for him is having you there so you can show him the ropes.
Right.
You can show him how it's done, how to be not a pro, but a professional.
Yeah. No question. T-Buck, one more question before we transition to the superlative part of our show. As you watch this, for our fans checking us out on YouTube, you see T-Buck, he has a shirt on. You know, can you show it a little bit? Yeah, XFL shirt. With that being said, he is the head coach of the Orlando team in the XFL. T-Buck, what should we expect from your ball club, number one, and what excited you the most about this opportunity?
Well, the most exciting thing about this opportunity is I'm a head coach. You know, I spent 15 years coaching. We ain't talking about the plan and all that. And on some great defenses, recruiting, they tell you all these things you have to do to move up the ladder.
Yeah.
And I wasn't moving. And I felt like I've been qualified to move up and be a head coach, if you compare it to other guys.
Why do you think you wasn't moving in the rate you should have been moving?
Well, a lot of things. You know, when you come out and you're a corner, you play corner. First of all, they don't think we know ball. And it's always the offensive guy or the quarterback that knows splits and knows DBs. Well, we know stuff. Patrick Peterson know that. You line up in that toe. You've been running outs and you tilt that toe a little bit. And that's third time you done tilt that toe. You about to run that out. I'm about to make this play. third and 10. You like to run digs. We understand concept. We understand who we cover. Is he fast? Is he slow? Can the quarterback throw the ball on a line 40 yards? Does he have to put air on it?
Right.
We understand all those things. And you have to be sitting in the meeting rooms to understand game planning. That they was promoting guys that was getting the game plans from me, the matchups. Mm. How are we going to play this? What are we going to do? The head coach knew that. Everybody knows. So you're sitting there like, well, why am I not moving up when I'm showing you, articulating to you properly why the corners are doing this, why they're improving, why the linebackers are doing this, why on special teams, the punt return, the whole game.
Yeah.
And never give an opportunity. And then all of a sudden, the Lord is good. It's a true blessing that The Rock, Danny Garcia, and Red Bird Capital buys the XFL. And the first thing they say, mandate, is we want to be diverse, inclusive, and give guys and ladies opportunities that they've proven they deserve, but they're not getting.
Yeah.
And from the Orlando team, what you're going to expect is a smart, fast, and fearless team. Because that's what they coach is.
Hey, no question that the team should represent the image of their head coach.
You're going to see it. We're going to light that scoreboard up. And we're going to play great defense. Just I was talking to Pat P. Man, this has been so awesome watching. I mean, I watched, 20 games this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I see the coaches, old coaches. This is what the NFL drives me crazy about. They keep recycling these same guys.
Yeah.
And getting the same thing. And then they blame the players. That I watch, who was that? Cleveland mess up. I watch these guys. Nobody wants to change coverages. I can close my eyes. I watch the games on mute. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, single high, two. Oh, he about to blow the coverage. He don't know what he's doing. They driving. Want the defense call timeout. I can see everybody's tired out there.
No question.
To get game on the line. Call the timeout, man. Pat P done played. He out there tired, man. Take Pat out for about 10 plays. Hey. Let him rotate a little bit, you know?
T-Buck, that mindset caused the Chargers a game because Gerald Everett was tired.
Yes.
He wanted to come out of the game. Coach was like, no, we're going to keep running tempo. Yeah. And he couldn't even run his route. So Herbert throws the out route, but Everett too tired. And pick six, Kansas City, opposite direction. Thursday night.
Both of you guys obviously played a lot of ball and played a lot of stuff. Fourth quarter, week 10, week 12, when you done played 60 snaps a game and you dead tired and you like, coach, and that's why in college, why you do that? If you take 10, 15 plays off me early in the game, I can finish this fourth quarter the way it should be. They don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Which boggles my mind on why not. I mean, it's one of those things. The receivers, I watch the receivers. Take BBD, run to the sideline.
Oh, don't get Pat started with that. They come
I can't go, when he run deep and go to the sideline, I'm going to jog off the field. You come in right behind. And that's probably why, that's what I'm saying, the new wave of thinking. This opportunity with the XFL is awesome because now, instead of just talking about it, I'm going to get a chance to do it. I've always rotated my coaching career. Got this from Mickey Andrews. And you know about this, B-Mac. 3-1, 2-1, depending on the separation of the corners. I never played a full game. Deion never played. We rotated. So we got there in the fourth quarter. You finish 7-8 minutes before half. And 7-8 minutes at the end of the game. And for me, it got to the point, whoever was hot, going to stay in too. Mm-hmm. But nobody, so I had four corners averaging, one guy might have 25 plays, the other one might have 30, and then the two starters might have 50. Now, this is in college where you're getting 80 plays.
Yeah.
So imagine in pros, I don't know, what are y'all averaging now, Pat? 65?
Yeah. 65.
So imagine if you was averaging 50, if you like, I'm going to give you 50 strong plays. Mm. come week eight, the toughest part of the season for me was 8 through 12.
Yeah.
Because it's not the beginning, it's in the middle. So I had to develop a plan. Week 8 through plan, I told my wife, I told the kids, look, I ain't trying to be, but them 8 hours of sleep I would get, I'm about to get 10.
Yeah.
Because this is mentally, physically the toughest part for me. Live more massage, live more, just spend a little more time. So week 12, when everybody else was going down, I was still maintaining, but everybody felt like, oh, he's getting better. No, I'm just maintaining because I done got my rest.
Yeah.
And I done made some adjustments.
Well, I tell you this much, then you better have some, hey, whoever going to get on that Orlando team, you play at the cornerback position, make sure y'all better be ready because you're going to get some opportunities to show what you got.
Sure. Oh, man, we excited. Let me tell you something. We ahead of the game. We finishing our board for the draft in November.
Yep.
We meet twice a week for an hour and a half in the same mindset I had as a position coach and a player. I have about 8 notebooks. And always remind me, remember, don't forget what you was doing, what you was talking about as a position coach and a player.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
No question. Well, T-Buck, we're going to transition to the superlative part, right? We're going to hit you with rapid fire questions.
Okay.
We got 3 great questions for you, 3 great questions, and we want to hear what your response is. The first one I got for you is your favorite moment game in college. At Florida State.
Syracuse, 1989.
Oh, the Fooler from Pascagoula. Gene Deckerhoff.
Gene Deckerhoff. Putting on the map. On the map, baby.
Pump tell us why. Touchdown.
Well, first time I scored a touchdown, and the way I did it was a little bit dramatic, and it helped us to beat our top 25 team. As a true freshman.
Hey, Pat P, he being very, very modest. What happened was they punted the football to T-Buck. T-Buck caught the ball like it was a fair, like he was a fair catch. But he didn't give the signal, but he caught it. And he just stood still. He didn't move.
Right.
So the punt team running down, they're like, this man must have, you know, fair caught the ball and took off.
Took off.
How many yards it was?
I want to say 69, something like that. Mm. Felt like 20. I was fast like Pat P. Felt like 20, couple strides.
He said it felt like 20.
Hey, you know how it is when you're a returner, and Pat P know that when I slowed him down, turned that corner, and I saw the punter, you know it's over then. it's like a rule. It's like punter.
Right.
You know, it's over.
Question number 2, best defender you played with and why?
Reggie White, late great White, because you couldn't block him.
Yeah.
He would hip toss you. He would slide in. He played hard. He may jump over you. He had everything you needed at slightly under 300 pounds. Agile, take great angles, and he was relentless.
Okay. Last question for you. Top 5 corners ever.
Oof. Now, we're talking about,
ever.
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 Man. So I'm going to go old school now.
Okay.
So Pat P, no, I'm going to go old school.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Obviously, Dion. I love Dion, watching D.
Yep. So he's your one?
D would be my one. Because the playmaker, I love playmakers. Lester Hayes would be 2 for me.
Okay.
And it's one of those combinations, man. I don't know if you could take one without the other, but I love watching Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield.
Oh, Frank Minifield, Cleveland Brown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both 21. Of them playing in there.
Both of them play for Brown, for Cleveland, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And 5, man. I really like watching his name is slipped. 2-4 from Jets.
Revis
in his prime. I would take Revis. Now obviously that I can switch. Those are my favorites. Now, if you ask me production and if I had to win a game and do all that, though, that would probably change a little bit. But I love the picture. That picture of Lester Hayes down there. Down there with that black on, with that shield and that sticker on. Oh my God, I love that picture.
One of the best pictures you can see.
What?
Yeah.
Love it.
And you know what? A lot of people don't talk about that tandem in Cleveland as well. So I'm glad to hear you mention their name.
Man,
I was a big time Frank Minifield fan because he used to have that white spat with them orange, that orange tip.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, I was a legit boy. I used to be watching. I said, man, why is his tip of his shoes orange? I didn't realize it was tape at the time. But that high spat.
Yes. Clear. So those are my guys that I kind of, you know, everybody say stats and all that, but it's those guys I like.
That's your top five.
Let me add this to you talking about top five. Now I'm gonna go back to high school, tell y'all this story. It's two guys, highlight tape, slash three, that I always tell recruits about, that the best highlight tape that I've seen in high school been two guys. One is on this show right now, Patrick Peterson. Oh my gosh. You talking about his high school tape? It is second to none. You hear me? It is unbelievable. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to get him. Then he go to LSU. I don't know what he's thinking about. But his tape was unbelievable. And the second person is LaMarcus Joyner.
Yeah. LaMarcus Joyner, St. Thomas.
Well, this was before he got to St. Thomas, when he transferred to St. Thomas, his highlight tape.
He was down there. He was at South Ridge first? Was it South Ridge?
Yeah, I forgot. It was all black school.
Yes.
What I'm saying about these high schools and these highlights, Patrick and LaMarcus slash Greg Reed, when you're looking at a tape and you see flashes, you're like, okay, I want to see what he got. And you just sitting there and you going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my, oh, did he do that? Oh my God. I'm talking about the whole time. I'm talking about hitting, running by a cat, playing quarterback, receiver, whatever. It was like, wow. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Hey.
And obviously, Patrick is proving that. And LaMarcus did that too. LaMarcus probably was 5'8".
5'8".
180 pounds of freaking butcher knife. Right.
And hey, T, but before we let you go, who is the real DBU?
Oh, it's coming.
Do we really have to? Do I really have to answer that?
It might be somebody listening to us.
You were doing so well throughout the whole show.
No, I'm sorry, but Pat, you see what we're doing is, see what we're talking about is, we're talking about not short term, but long term.
Long term.
Long, like we go back to the 80s, long 90s, term. 2000s, and still relevant today. Like, Pat, come on. Nobody was talking about LSU DBs in the 80s, in the 90s. Well, y'all just jumped in.
I would give LSU this.
Corey, LSU did it. Corey Raymond is a good friend of mine.
Yep.
What they've done over the last decade has been unbelievable.
They're phenomenal, no question.
I just
got a legend on, man. I just want to ask this, man. This man was telling us stories in 91, man, when he was just killing people, ripping people.
Hey, dog, Florida State.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
It's been unreal. And even before me and D, you talk about JT Thomas, Bobby Buck,
no question.
Martin Mayhew.
Yes.
I mean, keep going.
Martin Mayhew.
With the Super Bowl.
Yes. JT Thomas was the first black football player at Florida State, drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And then
Bobby Butler, straight goon.
Yes. Then you forget about, and some guys we don't talk about, like Samari Rowe.
Oh, no knob.
Who I think one of the most talented, probably DB I ever seen, is Antonio Kamara.
No question.
Crow's unbelievable. So we got, it's long.
It's my bad, Pat B. I just had to throw that out there.
Listen. And I tell them this too. And we had to pick a squad from all the guys.
Oh no, yeah. That's how you should answer the DBU question. If you had to pick your best four from that university, rock and roll.
I told D, I said, I don't know who the other three is, but I know who one is.
No question. But hey, thank you for clarifying that for us, Coach.
Hey man, no problem. Now that's what I'm here to do. That's what I'm here to do.
Now we can let you go. Now we can let you go right now. Thank you for joining us, the great, the GOAT, Terrell Buckley. Like I said, man, give this man his flowers. This man not only dominated in high school, college, but he also dominated in the professional league as well. And I don't understand why people don't talk about T-Buck more. 50 interceptions in 14 years, top five pick by the Green Bay Packers, Jim Thorpe Award winner at Florida State, dominated the collegiate ranks on the sidelines because y'all didn't want to give him his just due. Guess what? Now he's a head coach in the XFL with the Orlando team. T-Buck, man, thank you for joining us. We know you're going to have some big things on the line for your ball club. We can't wait to see you guys dominate this upcoming season. The season starts in 2023, January or February?
We start camp January 10th.
January 10th.
Season starts regular season February 18th.
There you have it.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys, man. Keep doing your thing. Pat P, keep doing your thing, man. And make sure you put your arm around my man, Cam.
I will do, man. Best of luck on your first head coaching gig, Coach.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.